I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Vince Colonnay is sitting alongside Mary Walter on Mornings on the Mall. Pleased to be joined now by our friend Mary Catherine Hamm from CNN, The Federalist, and literally everywhere. Mary Catherine Hamm, thank you for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. So we've got a busy weekend behind us now of liberal insanity, which is to say that Lena Dunham, of course, went on this tear against American Airlines. I saw Chelsea Handler literally tweet a couple hours ago that it'd be nice to have laws against people who think racism is funny.
Good.
Just a good trend of liberal insanity. But I want to go back to the Lena Dunham thing because you've written about it. To summarize for people, you had Lena Dunham walking through an airport, overheard two American Airlines employees having trans-insensitive conversations, decided to blow them up on Twitter and bring down the full force of all of America and American Airlines on their own employees. How are you reacting to that?
Yeah, I saw this story and I just had this very visceral, oh my gosh, this is disgusting feeling. Like the idea that she thinks not only this is the right thing to do when she overhears this, if she did, by the way, because U.S. Airlines has been, quote, unable to verify these allegations and has also noticed, according to her social media, that she was in a different terminal than American Airlines works out of. And she was tweeting about this and putting up an Instagram story 2 hours after all of their employees would probably have been out of a terminal. So who knows? It wouldn't be the first Lena Dunham accusation to blow up once examined in the public eye. But anyway, the idea that she thought that this was a cool thing to do to her fellow Americans for basically disagreeing with her about trans issues and having the temerity to talk about it in public. And then that she thinks she's going to be socially rewarded for it. So she puts it all out on Twitter for everyone to see. That is an unhealthy impulse, to say the least. And it really concerns me. Like, I wrote a book about this called End of Discussion. I'm very interested in this topic and like letting all Americans actually discuss in public what they care about and not fear the minders like Lena Dunham reporting them elsewhere. And people don't feel that way right now. They feel scared that they can't talk about
it. I should also point out End of Discussion, now available in paperback. You can get that from Mary Catherine Hamm and Guy Benson. I look at this. Connor Friedersdorf wrote a piece for The Atlantic, too, responding to this. And in it, he kind of pointed out that, you know, normally in families and in communities, when you shame someone, you do so lovingly. You do so with the as a personal interaction, one where they can respond to you. But in this case, this is a social media attack on people that she's never met that could destroy their lives. And there's no downside for her at all, actually. There's no way for her to be involved other than just tweeting and basically rolling that hand grenade in.
Right. And like that's the thing that struck me about it, too, because all of the tweets about this are all about compassion and kindness. You know what is compassionate and kind? To have a conversation with somebody if you have an issue with something they said instead of blowing them up in front of the world. That would be more compassionate and kind. And yet she could not bring herself to do that. And that part, I think, too, and this bothers me in a lot of areas of American life. You see it a lot with, you know, a kid left in a car for 5 minutes at CVS and people immediately appeal to authorities instead of asking the mom, like, hey, what's going on here? I think that is something we're seeing more often, both with speech and things like that, that your first impulse should be like, ask your neighbor or friend or whoever you're having an encounter with, hey, what's the deal here? Like, we can have conversations. Let's be adults.
You know, talking about the end of the discussion, I would assume that, you know, that's about public discussion. You can have a conversation with someone.
Right.
This is a private conversation, though, that she alleges two American Airlines employees were having together that she was eavesdropping in on. So what she's trying to do here is end your right to have a private discussion with a friend and express an opinion that she doesn't agree with. It's very, very Soviet communist Russia.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mary, how can we have a just society if middle-class flight attendants are allowed to talk to their friends on break? You know, we can't have that in this country because if it makes Lena Dunham upset, then we have failed her. No, it is very creepy, and that's one of the reasons we wrote in the discussion is because I noticed, look, as a public figure, and you guys know this too, I think about what I'm saying. I know that it's going to be ripped apart to some extent, and that's part of what I've accepted as part of my gig and part of my life. But I think that, like, I saw it's trickling down into this weaponized outrage perpetrated on just regular folks for, like, Facebook posts that they might lose their jobs over, even on private pages. And I just thought, that's not the way we should be operating. This shouldn't have economic consequences if you disagree with someone on Facebook.
The amazing thing to me is we talk about, like, a lack of interpersonal contact, and this goes all the way to, like, slacktivism, people just, like, adding pictures to their profiles thinking right. that they're helping a cause. And you've basically got a conflict-free society, one where everyone craves no interpersonal conflict, yet what they're doing is they're making their behavior such that you're actually driving, like, a tremendous amount of wedges in our culture in the process.
Right.
It's kind of a gross dichotomy.
Yeah, I think we have, like, perhaps more than any time in history, a passive-aggressive society.
Yes.
Like, is that what we're doing now? Which is, we are real mad about things all the time, but we're never confronting anyone about them. Like, we're just memeing them and tweeting them. And certainly not, like you said, and Connor pointed out, confronting people lovingly. That rarely happens. And I think, you know, this is really hard work. And in the book and in the discussion, we write about this and say, like, you know, there's no easy solution to this. This has to be, like, a cultural change that includes a lot of that personal contact that people have started to avoid, right? And it's something I've attempted to do my whole life because I think having people around me who disagree with me actually makes life more interesting.
Mary Catherine, you have a great piece in The Federalist. And real quickly, with the time we have left, you mentioned that on the trans issue specifically, that the goalposts are moving so rapidly that nobody can actually have a politically correct conversation on it walking through an airport.
Oh, gosh, yes. Like, even if you agreed with everything Lena Dunham agrees with, right, you wouldn't know how to express that properly. There's actually, when we were writing in the discussion, we found a website for trans terminology, and they put out a monthly guide. Monthly, okay? if you have not checked up on it, you're going to be wrong. And I just think that is a wrong way to approach people. Convincing them to shut up about an issue is not the same as convincing them. And the left should have learned that in 2016 when America elected Donald Trump, but they have not learned that.
All right, well, I'm going to go back to the Internet Archives and look at the various iterations of the trans terminology page. Mary Catherine, thanks so much for stopping by Mornings on the Mall.
Thank you so much. Great to talk to you guys.
Nice talking to you. 844 now on WMAL.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.